pay close heed to my every word.
Ricardo!
This is not Ricardo Maltabon.
You're listening to League Podcast, episode 355. I'm Matt Durson.
And I'm your host, John Hunt.
Clay Inferno.
So now you're the host. Right. Why am I the guy introducing the thing? Am I like the guy who introduces, like, Johnny Carson?
Yeah, you're the Ed McMahon.
Right.
Call back to season one of League Cast.
That's right, didn't
I? Tonight, Bell Biv DeVoe.
I think we were known as Logcast back then.
Yeah. We did the shit cast.
Picture.
No, but yeah, I mean, all those late night guys have like someone who introduces them.
Dickie Barrett.
Oh, yeah. I'm blah blah blah.
That's Dickie on the Jimmy Kimmel Show.
Oh, really?
That's all he does. He's the announcer.
That's all he does.
Does? No, well, I mean, yeah, but he never comes out on the panel or anything. Yeah. But you always hear him. He's like, tonight's concert series brought to you by Mercedes Benz.
Oh, really?
It's pretty cool.
All right, your pal Dickie.
Yeah, why don't you get him on the show and he can introduce me?
Yeah, right.
John Hunt. Presented by Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah, that'd be something. If we could get any sponsor. Presented by Logcast Poop Pictures. Well, anyways, welcome back. I hope y'all had a good Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
I did. I drove all over the place, Connecticut, New Jersey, and it was good, though. I do want to say, now, I know I've said this before, but I want to add something. So I went to Red Bank.
Go to Sovereign Bank.
Oh, well, there you go. It's called Santander now.
Oh, right. Sorry.
Anyway, so I've talked about this before. Thanksgiving, we usually go by Jay and Silent Bob's Secret Stash.
Yes.
Pop in. Now, that show, Comic Book Men, has been off the air now for a few years, right?
Mm-hmm. Not a few years. Like, yeah. Maybe 1 year.
Really?
Yeah.
A few months, then.
Well, I guess I'll give him – I don't believe you.
I'll look it up, Clay. While you're talking. How about that?
Okay. Well, it would kind of defeat the purpose if it's only been a year, but...
Well, I'll look it up.
All right,
now.
Let's look it up now.
Now?
Now, Comic Book Men. It said, start in 2012. I don't know. What does IMDb have to say? Does it say anything? Well, it's 7 seasons. I guess you're right. I guess technically it's still going on.
Yeah, I remember when Kevin Smith said it was canceled.
Said the final episode date was April 8th.
Oh, yeah. Shit. Of
this current year.
All right, well, that kind of defeats the purpose of the whole thing. I thought it had been off for like 3 years or something. All right, well, anyways.
In our minds.
Let me just say.
Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not there.
I feel a little bad now. But okay, so I've said before, though, that comic book store, I mean, maybe we're just spoiled. Our comic book stores are at least well maintained. I mean, right. They're old and whatever, but like that place is just kind of a dump. Like, I'm just like, there's just shit everywhere.
Tonight, Matt Durson, brought to you by Jay and Silent Bob.
I don't like it when stores are like that either. I mean, I mostly like, yeah, I feel spoiled. Every New England Comics, you have like a template of it, like how it's supposed to set
right.
up.
And like new arrivals,
there's little
here.
Variations, but it's pretty
right.
much the
no,
same.
No, they're mostly like the same. New arrivals, and then like last week's new arrivals, and then there's like wall books, and then there's whatever. But you know what I mean? And then the last couple months are kind of along the other. It's very easy to find what you're looking for, I feel like, in most. This place is just crap everywhere. A lot of it is crap from his movies. And like just like, you know, display cases of
does he
know.
Have the actual crap monster amongst that crap?
No, that would be great. I would actually respect that, but no. But they also have like this crappy old card table with their mics on it, and like it's got duels and it's got like old mail thrown on it. And I'm just like, really, guys? I mean, I know like you're supposed to be like down home regular folk here, but like, wow. This is something.
You know what the greatest thing I ever heard about that was said about Kevin Smith was that he seems to be quite happy in his mediocrity.
I think you're right. Yeah, and not that he has much to do with the store. First of all, let me just say that. I mean, I don't think he goes in there and like checks out customers or whatever. But still, like, he's the owner. I don't know. It's you're right. I mean, we're spoiled, but like, and maybe this is not. Maybe this is just what a lot of stores are like.
This might be your white privilege showing.
This might be. But you know what I mean? Like, this is a place that a lot of people come to just because it's on TV. You know, sometimes. They didn't always film there, but they filmed some of the episodes there. And, like, you know, I mean, you would think that they would want to at least maintain a level of quality, since there are going to be people just walking in who maybe don't even care about this stuff, but they do want to see this particular store because this is where a show was filmed.
Right.
But I don't know. And it's just kind of dumpy and it's disappointing. I think is where I'm getting at. I expected a little more, but I guess you're right. He's happy in his mediocrity.
Yeah.
I mean, he's made a lot of money.
He's done well.
I
mean,
he's like,
but the guys
that
work at the store though, like they should have a sense of pride about where they work.
You're right.
In the store. Like the store should look nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it should at least look as good as any other comic book store, but this is kind of just a low rent kind of thing. The books are all just shoved into these things, so like they're not in excellent condition. Let me just tell you.
Wow.
Oh, really? Do you have to like search a little while for the good bread?
I didn't even buy anything. Yeah, the good bread. You got to dig into the good bread. The ones that, of course, Kevin Smith wrote are in excellent condition.
Oh, they're right up in front of
maybe because no one reads them. Am I right?
That was a good one. Good one.
All right. I mean, I don't want to make fun of Kevin Smith. I mean, I do, but I won't.
I like his comic. I like his Green Arrow comic. And Daredevil was cool at the time.
Yeah. I didn't like that widening Geyer Batman.
That wasn't that good.
Not good.
So he also did that with the other guy that works at Comic Book Man.
Yeah. The freaky looking guy?
Walt Flanagan, I think, is his name.
Yeah. Walt Flanagan's dog.
Guy. Right, yeah. Anyways, now I do feel a little bad though because the show is not that old. I thought like, why do they keep these old microphones here for?
Maybe they want to do like a web series.
There's gonna be another season.
Yeah, maybe they're right.
They'll just like start doing it themselves on YouTube or something.
Sure, that's true. All right, really quick. Speaking of canceled shows,
Daredevil's
out. Now, the rumor, or what people suspected, is that, they'll just move over to the Disney Plus streaming service.
Yeah, duh, that's what I said.
No, that is not true, apparently.
Yeah, that's
not happened.
It is true that I said it.
Well, other people have said it's not, Clay.
Oh, okay.
And maybe
Disney,
they will.
Disney themselves said it was not.
Disney doesn't
What do they know?
No, I mean actual Walt Disney. They unfroze his cryogenically frozen head to come out and say, nope.
Is he just a head or do they do the whole thing?
I don't know.
All right.
That's probably not even true that he's cryogenically frozen.
No, you're right. That's a bunch of bullshit. So anyway, like apparently it's very similar to if they want to bring back like the way they brought Spider-Man in. Like if they want to bring back Luke Cage one day, it would be a completely different Luke Cage. It would be like rebooted. Or whatever. That's what I read anyway. And I don't know if that's true either. That was just some.
But that's not what happened with Spider-Man. What do you mean?
I read it on logcast.com.
No, it's like, I mean, they don't say, you know, like it's a new guy. It's a completely new Peter Parker. They don't say, Tobey Maguire, you know, was Spider-Man once. Like it's new. That's what that's all I'm.
It's too bad.
Tobey Maguire was an actor and stuff.
Those were the days.
You mean Andrew Garfield?
Well, either way, I just meant that as an example. But yeah, like the point is, they don't want them. Like they don't want the. It's a completely different like set of contracts. Apparently, you know, and they can't just bring Charlie Cox in and say, "Okay, you're Daredevil now."
But isn't Jeff Logan in charge of that stuff? Either way, whether it's on Disney or it's on Netflix, can he make it happen?
Maybe he could if they.
My prediction. Here's the rumor I'm going to start they may want to fold all this stuff into the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Uh huh.
that's.
But they already did reference the Marvel Cinematic Universe in the first season of Daredevil.
I remember that, but maybe the Cinematic Universe wants to be like, you know, we really could use a little appearance by Daredevil in this Avengers movie now after Infinity War is done.
No, I'm all for that, I hope, but I just don't know.
I did read something interesting about that earlier this week that's not related to the cancellations, really, but they were like going to put it, they were going to have some of these Netflix characters die in Infinity War, like by Thanos, but then they realized it would be too complicated for the people that only watch the Netflix shows. They wouldn't have any idea.
Picking up Daredevil season 3 and not having watched Defenders, I've already gone through that with the show.
right.
And that's, well, I watched Defenders and I didn't even remember that that happened. That's how little I cared about Defenders. I might have even fallen asleep, Rachel said. But still, I still found season 3 of Daredevil to be very, very
awesome. Watching those, and then like, what? This is what happens every night. We watch Daredevil, and then I'm like, okay, like if we're doing that, like we have to watch Iron Fist 2 just to get it all.
Really? Oh, I don't give a shit about Iron Fist.
No, but like we're watching like episode 1 and then episode 1 of Iron Fist, and every time Stacey falls asleep during Iron Fist.
But well, I don't know. I think we watched one episode of Iron Fist. Or maybe we didn't
probably
even do that.
Skip to the second season if you wanted to, or just watch Defenders.
I already watched Defenders.
Watch any of that stuff. I just watched Daredevil in the first season of Jessica Jones.
I might not watch the last couple episodes of Luke Cage because it was
boring. Don't bother. It's too long and boring. But it doesn't matter. So I guess what I'm saying is maybe it doesn't matter because we may never see these people again.
It could have been my karaoke performance as Daredevil that caused Netflix to cancel the show.
So is it that, or is it just there's no real communication between?
Well, the TV side and the movie side stuff is all separate. So maybe going on behind the scenes where they're merging together. Who knows?
Something that they all have an answer to, but they're just not going to tell us. And then when they tell us, they're going to lose their minds.
Having been privy to a bunch of behind the scenes comic book stuff with fans speculating about why didn't they just do this, and I want to come out. Well, now I probably could have. Now, but I don't remember what any of the stuff was.
Now?
But people were like, why don't they just do this? And they're like, well, there's a reason we can't, because there's this and this and this that has to happen in order to do that thing that you think is simple. So it could be a lot of that going on. A lot of complicated, weird stuff that schmoes like us wouldn't know.
Bring in the lawyers.
Yes.
Well, you know, you're right. Bring I'm sure it is.
Nelson and Murdoch.
Yeah, right. They'll do it for cheap.
Yeah.
They'll do it for chickens.
Yeah, that's right.
But I'm just saying it would be a shame. I mean, they've done a really good. They've kind of got this whole thing going with this Netflix thing. It would be kind of sad if it does just like, that's it. Although we may still have more Punisher and more Jessica Jones. Those are the only ones they haven't canceled yet.
Yeah, but I think those probably end up on the chopping block.
They're on the old chopping block.
Yeah. All right.
You know, like at Foggy Nelson's parents. Deli, right there on the meat chopper.
Right in the meat slicer.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, whatever.
Can
it's
I
funny.
Say something also about Daredevil? Charles Soule concluded his run on Daredevil.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. So not only is Daredevil canceled, but he's also dead.
He's dead.
Spoiler warning.
What? He's dead?
So Matt Murdock supposedly died on the operating table. Yeah. They're going to bring.
Big deal. I've done that too.
They did a Sopranos blackout.
They did. It was like 3 pages of blackness, and then so the very last page.
You bought that book and read it?
Yeah.
Nice.
I've been reading Daredevil
easy.
For
pages
years.
Without having.
Yeah,
right.
Oh, right. You were just.
So like 17 pages.
You just weren't on board with the his brother coming in and stuff.
No, I wasn't on board with that. But I read those. I finally caught up.
Good for you.
Well, it was better than the way you described it to me. I'm actually going to say that.
Okay. Well, it was. No it's offense. Tough to talk about a book when the other person hasn't read it. You're like,
But I you described it. And I said that sounds stupid. But the way they did it made it a little more on a little better. still,
so
whatever.
More to their credit and less to me not knowing how to explain a comic book.
Sorry, Clay. No, you know how to explain it. Maybe it was just I was just cynical that day. I don't know.
You were, because you were like, they just did that in the other book.
Oh, well, then there you go. But whatever. So, yeah. There was this other, I didn't quite understand. I guess we'll get it because they're doing another Daredevil 5-part series called The Man Without Fear. And
I think they already did one of those.
No, it's not called Daredevil, A Man Without Fear. The actual comic book series is called The Man Without Fear.
He's going to come back from the dead. I mean,
or if you listen to our audio comic of Daredevil from way back when, Ray's heavy Boston accent made it Daredevil, the man without fear. So I guess
he can't get on the train
or can't catch a cab. Good enough. Can't pay the fare.
Durson, when you picked up this issue, did you look for the good bread? Because I got a really good cover for Daredevil.
I did. I got the cover with like the white and like the kind of skeleton looking.
The one that I got has Daredevil Season 3 Daredevil looking like John Hunt.
And
painting of
John
Vince
was the Green
DiNofrio
Arrow, the Green
Kingpin.
Hornet, or whatever.
I was the Green Kingpin. Hornet. I was the guy from the Princess Bride.
All right, you weren't Daredevil.
I wasn't Daredevil. I was some swashbuckling.
Yeah, but I didn't see that one. Sorry. I should have
went deeper. It's already gone by the time you got there.
Don't worry, I'll just pose for you. And you can make the cover.
I'll rip off the cover.
Now, I have to ask you this, Daredevil. What is the little white underneath his visor? Like, it's like he has,
didn't we establish that it was... Didn't we say that he had grabbed, like, a nun's habit?
Yeah, like a habit. Yeah. I thought that's
what. That's why I'm season 3, Daredevil.
Yeah. I like that idea. Very well. I've been wondering.
All right. Yeah, that's what we thought.
I'm only on episode 3.
Holy shit, Clay.
Wait till you get the Coolio subplot in this.
Ooh, nice. What was Coolio in? Buffy something?
But he was in the subplot in the Daredevil movie that got cut out of the theatrical version.
What a tragedy.
Yeah. Apparently that whole subplot makes the movie make sense, though.
Oh, see.
Did it have his other gang members? Bendis, Romita.
Romita. No, because they ain't got no car, fool.
Anyways, there was something weird though happened, Clay. Maybe I'd missed something though. So he's fighting the Kingpin as this new assassin called
the Vigil. Yeah,
the Vigil. So okay, first of all, in a bit of art imitating life here, the Kingpin is the mayor, and Daredevil is trying to expose that he rigged the election.
Yeah.
Where's the art imitating life? I don't get it.
Oh, yeah. Well, at least it wasn't Russians helping the Kingpin. But it's very, very eerie. Anyways, that's been the whole thing the last few issues. And then so this guy Vigil, they have a fight. Well, I guess it doesn't really matter. So I guess I do get it. So what happened is...
I think he gets pushed off the thing.
Yeah, but this is all happening. He's fighting, and then he exposes the Kingpin. The Kingpin gets, ousted out of office.
Oh, I thought he pantsed him or something. He
didn't expose him that way, but he exposed the corruption. And then he's all like, things are great. He fights this guy, the Vigil, again. The Vigil, he beats him. And then the Vigil guy's like, take off my mask or whatever, and he takes off his mask, and it's Matt Murdock. And then, Daredevil kind of, it's all nothing. None of that happened. He's been on the operating table this whole time. And and he dies.
Nice,
and so he
nice
sees,
twist.
Yeah, I know. He sees Karen Page, and she's like, Matt, it's okay. You did everything you could. And then then the black as Clay. Like,
doot, doot,
doot, doot. And then he says, there's little quotes.
I cannot see the light.
Yeah.
So
I will be the light.
I am Daredevil. And I am not afraid.
Is that really what it said?
Yeah, that's actually really.
That's exactly what I thought before I died.
Yeah, well, you came back, and so will Matt Murdock.
I was just like Jesus Christ and Spock.
Jesus Christ. Those are two great.
It looks people like... think of the greats that come back to life. Yeah. They think of Jesus Christ, Spock, and me.
I mean, it's of course, like, whatever. It's comics.
Is it? Nobody does Chip Zdarsky writing another Daredevil book that's not Man Without Fear? Because this one, in the end, has no fear, K-N-O-W, fear.
Oh, I don't know. I think that might be different. I don't know. Like, Charles Soule has been writing it for 5 years, and he's gone. He's done. So it was actually kind of neat. The editor,
he's good.
He did a good job. The editor had, like, a funny little thing. Like, throughout the history of Daredevil, there's this kind of precedent that's been set with, like, creators leaving with Daredevil in really bad shape.
Oh, yes. I remember this when Bendis left, and who was it that took over?
Brubaker.
Brubaker, yeah. He's like, oh, he got sent to prison.
Yeah.
Like, no, good. Prison. I can do something with that, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like this history. And, like, same thing, like, whoever took over after, like, Frank Miller or whatever. It's just this kind of fun little thing where, like, one writer leaves the other writer like a real pickle, you know?
Real?
Not cuke, but
a pickle. All
Andy Diggle, too, or something. Like, they had,
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Daredevil like was the head of the hand or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And like there was one where everybody knew who he was, you know. Oh, Mark Waid, I guess, took over. Everybody knew his identity and all that stuff. So like, yeah, it's kind of neat. We'll see what happens.
I'm not Matt Murdock, because you can tell because I have a shirt that says I am not Matt Murdock.
Oh, you do? Do you? It's kind of sad though when you think about like if this was not. If Daredevil was like a real guy, man, what a shitty life he really has had. Yeah. But anyways, so I'm sure he'll be back.
You know what they should do? A year of each comic book character where nothing really major happens. You just kind of follow him through regular life. Go, this is kind of what it's like during the downtime, you know, when there's no supervillain attacks and stuff.
Yeah, you know, like... We beat all the villains, and now we're just or hanging out.
It just
we
have to help somebody in move. Between like crises.
I know there is no in between crises anymore.
Yeah, they literally always, just go. Everything is happening. So I would like you do a year of each not at the same time. Just you know, but you know, a year's run of a comic. But I mean, it doesn't have to actually be a year in actual time. It could be you know right. like 2 weeks.
Three or issues. Two issues. Yeah. Okay, I see what you're saying.
Montage.
Oh, well,
yard work.
I feel like Spider-Man used to do that. Like sometimes he would just have an issue where he would be swinging around trying to do something, and not much would really happen in the way of fighting supervillains, or at least it wasn't like earth-shattering, you know, like
yeah,
kind of things. It would and be like, said, oh, I'm gonna fight some thugs.
You deserve it.
Well, anyways. Daredevil's dead.
So it goes.
So it goes. Yeah, so that Chip Zdarsky thing comes in February. Whatever. Chip Zdarsky is known for sort of goofy-ish. I mean, he's written some sort of silly things. I wonder how he would do. Like,
yeah, I'm not.
What is he writing, though, that was actually good? I don't know. Oh, that Marvel 2-in-1 was pretty good, actually, that he did.
Yeah.
So he's not just a one-trick pony.
I guess not. I apologize, Chip.
If you're listening, which you're not.
No, absolutely not.
Absolutely out of the question.
That's out of the question. what else is going on in the world then? John, let's talk about Akira Takaruda then a little bit.
Let's say his name correctly, though. Akira Takarada.
Takarada. I knew I would get that wrong. I was like, Takaruda? Takarada? Maybe if I say it fast enough.
Hey, Takarada.
I just thought if I just zipped through it, you wouldn't notice.
It was good. That was a nice try.
Tell us about your exciting Godzilla. All right,
sit down. Let's rap about Akira Takarada.
Everybody, I'm going to sit crisscross applesauce.
Nice.
Thank Let's rap.
Thank you for being racially sensitive, sir. Well, I had the honor and the terror of hosting an interview panel with famed Japanese actor Akira Takarada, who has appeared in 6 Godzilla films, including the very first Godzilla film, and also had a scene filmed for the 2014 American Godzilla film, which was cut.
That's unfortunate.
Why did they do that? They said they cut it for time.
That was one of the questions we asked, and when he answered, he went into full actor mode, and he was like, "Oh!" It reminded me of like Durson talking to Mickey Dolenz. When he's like, so 50 years, he's like, oh, yeah.
Wow. That's just standard, how do you answer that question?
Yeah. But it's because, but it was funny because he did that and then he takes out this handkerchief and he can understand English. He can speak it, just not great. And so he's like, oh, and then just quietly under his breath, he takes out his handkerchief and he's like, handkerchief, and then pretends to, you know, wipe the tears away from his eyes and
with his handkerchief.
And the first thing, because I had to meet him the day before, we had a meeting set up to just go over some questions and to meet his people and his interpreter. And the second I got there, he introduced himself and said, I hear you speak a good Japanese. And I was like, oh, I think you're fucking with me.
Whoever told you that is
fucking with me, aren't you? So,
I thought you spoke English. I don't know.
It was a little because he looked at my list of questions. He's like, only 8. And I was like, oh, all right. I guess I'll have to come up with some more. But, you know, I made a couple jokes, and he seemed to warm up and was quite pleasant. And much like Durson's interview with Mickey Dolenz, you ask one question, and an hour later he finishes answering, but then you have to sit through it again while the interpreter says it. So we were closing in on almost an hour and a half for this panel. And
it's a good thing you didn't come up with more questions.
Well, after he finished the first question, it was about 25 minutes in, I just said to the audience, I was like, and that's only question number 1, folks.
Ah, so, look at you.
Nice.
Speed bopping and scatting up there.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, I did. I tried to keep it light and fun. I mean, he got into some serious stuff of when he was shot by Russian soldiers when he was a child. And
damn.
Would you like a handkerchief?
Thank you. And
that sucks, though. I'm sorry. I don't mean to make a joke. Yeah,
and it's in, you know, 1940s China, and they don't have, you know, they're like, well, we don't really have any operating tools or anesthesia, so get me some scissors and bite on this bullet, you know? And they removed the bullet from his side, but they didn't have anything to stitch it up with, so it just kind of had to heal over time, but it got infected, and he said
that
every time he's got his own personalized weather device in him, in from where he got has the scar.
Whoa.
He can tell the change in weather by it. And he was serious when he needed to, humorous when he needed to, self-effacing when he needed to be, and shared a lot of fun stories, and introduced me and the interpreter Yuki. He said, "This is my son, granddaughter," and
that's pretty good.
Yeah, and he was, and then, you know, he had his hand on like my hand, just being like, you know, very, very friendly, loving, warm man. And and when I introduced him, I had, you know, they gave me here's a list of his things. I'm like, this is sort of weirdly interpreted. I'm going to have to rewrite this so that it makes more sense as an introduction. And so I wrote an intro for him. I said, here's what he's done. We know him for this, but he's also done this and that. And it's my great pleasure to introduce the most handsome man in the room.
Oh, very good. Very
Akira Takarada.
Oh, very
good.
My dad. I'm so proud of him.
I was going to ask if the adoption papers have gone through yet.
What's that?
Have the adoption papers gone through yet?
He adopted you. It is very difficult when it's like Japan and America.
Yeah.
And it's a 46-year-old man being adopted, so.
Yeah.
Oh.
A little different.
I'll let you know.
What's funny, though? When I did, I went to see John Cleese do like one of these like live things, and it was his daughter was the, like.
Oh, so it was just like.
I'm like, I wonder if that's like a standard thing too. You just say whoever it is your child. Whoever's doing the question.
His actual daughter was one of the people I met, so.
No, I'm just kidding. But that, and but yeah, as you put on Facebook, you did not get one picture of him. That's like of you with him this entire time.
No, I, but that, the first day I didn't. But
oh,
I thought I posted the pictures because I said note to self: don't ever wear that dumb looking hat again.
Oh yeah, you did. Yeah, that hat's not so good.
It looked better. It looked good from the front when I was looking at it, and then I looked at it on the side. I was like, oh yeah, never again. That thing's on the trash. But whatever.
I was going trying to wear trash.
Yeah, just like with my Hawkeye comics.
Just like just threw it away. Yeah. Wow, but that sounds fun. It sounds like you had a good time.
I said it was terrifying, and I was, you know, told to get there at a certain time, but no one knew what to do. So I essentially was sitting around sweating it out for 2 hours beforehand because I was like,
So, did you learn some facts about Godzilla maybe that you didn't know before?
No, not really. I mean, I knew this story that he shared, that when he was hired to for the very first film, and he introduced himself to the crew, and he said, "Hello, I'm Akira Takarada, and I am the star of the movie." And someone put him right in his place. It was like, "This is your second film. Godzilla is the star of the movie."
Whoa, that's
funny. Wow.
Well, it's not.
Here's a story I had no idea about, because he starred with American actor Nick Adams in Monster Zero, and they struck up a friendship off the set. And so I said, "Can you tell it?" So the day before when I met him, because we did go over questions and answers so that his interpreter would have notes and things. Right. So I mean, it wasn't a completely spontaneous interview. But there was one question. He's like, when he answered, I said, "Well, it's Nick Adams." Like he said, "Oh, he was real nice and this and that." And he's like, "I've got some other stuff about him I can talk about." And I was like, "Yes, save it for tomorrow. I don't want to know about it today." And and he was talking about how Nick Adams was like in love with all the Japanese women. So he's always like, so here's essentially what I heard. And I apologize to anyone that's Japanese. I'm not making fun of Japanese. But the way it came across, I was like, "Well, you hinted at some juicy gossip you may have had about Nick Adams." He said, "Oh, okay. Nick Adams, Mr. Horny." So it turns out that his nickname for Nick Adams was Mr. Horny, because he was always like, "Hey, buddy, can you the ladies?"
Oh my God.
He had a particular fixation on one actress named Kumi Mizuno, who in her heyday in the 60s, like, I was like, and and he's like, "You gotta introduce me to my cousin," and he did, and it didn't work out. And after he finished saying that, I turned to him and said, "Well, is there any chance you could introduce me to Kumi Mizuno?"
Maybe it'll work out now. You know,
she's like 80, but you know,
2 years later, sure. Well, I mean, whatever. That's pretty good. I mean, well, I like how it's. Yeah, anytime there's any kind of foreign language, and then you hear like something like "Mr. Horny," you know, you're like, "Oh, I got that part."
And then it turned out that Mr. Takarada was going to be in a production, I think, of like "Annie, Get Your Gun." Although I still have the document they gave to me of like his accomplishments. They call it, I think I do. They didn't call it "Annie, Get Your Gun." Hold on, I'm opening it. What'd they call it in? God damn it, I can't find it here.
Oh,
but it was something. It was something else that was funny. It was like, "Go and grab your gun," something. You know, it was something weird. Right. "Take the gun, Annie." That's what it was called.
Take the gun, Annie.
Annie.
He was going to be in a production of that. And apparently they didn't have he didn't have a access like in Japan to a recording of the of all the songs and stuff. So he asked Nick Adams when he got back to America if he could get him a copy of it, and Nick did, sent it back to him. He said, "And then I changed his name from Mr. Horny to Mr. Nice Guy." So here's one more little. I'm gonna drop another knowledge on you. Whatever
drop
I said
it.
A couple shows ago. Drop the knowledge on you. He was also spoke in the movie Latitude Zero. He was in with Joseph Cotton from Citizen Kane, Richard Jekyll from whatever he was in. I know he was in Grizzly, but that's like a Jaws knockoff with a grizzly bear. And Cesar Romero.
And, of course.
And so, so he, you know, he went from Nick Adams, Mr. Horny, and to Mr. Nice Guy, and then talked about how he was in Latitude Zero, in which he spoke all his lines in English. And he got somewhat friendly with Cesar Romero and described Cesar Romero as Mr. Hornier.
Wow. So, man. That's, you learned a lot about old school Hollywood
scenes of these American actors that it kind of were past their prime.
I mean, Cesar Romero, I mean, we only know stories about him from Batman, but yeah.
And his run on Falcon Crest.
Oh, I did.
Yeah, and you know what? I happened to catch an A&E biography on him like 20 years ago, and I was like, he was on Falcon Crest, you know?
Wow.
I can really remember about him.
I mean, I just remember he wouldn't shave his mustache, right?
Yeah.
So there's actually a Joker figure with like the white sort of, but you can tell it's like a mustache.
Model kit of that a few months ago, and he has the mustache too.
It's pretty hilarious.
I can't think of anything else offhand. I know we talked like it was an hour and a half, and his guy was like, okay, gotta wrap it up, and so you know I thought we had wrapped it up. And then he's like, I want to take questions from the audience. I was like, oh, we kind of ended on like a high note here. Now I feel like the whole thing could fall apart. But
the audience questions is always a little tricky.
There were only two questions. Okay. So, but I mean, right. It still lasted another 20 minutes anyway. So, but it went well. And then, that picture I took with my bad hat was when he was walking off the stage. And I was like, quick, grab a shot because I need some sort of evidence that I did this.
Yeah, that's cool though. Well, very good. Very well.
Very well. So, and Clay's like, so yeah, when you do it next time, I'm like, oh, I don't know if there's going to be a next time.
You never know. You never know.
Well, we'll be there. I mean, I'll
go. We'll be there.
Yeah, it was tough because, I didn't have anyone going with me. I managed to grab one friend, but Kristen, boyfriend, he canceled the day before, and I was like, oh
I thought he was the guy.
But it's fine. And like the convention was set up in a very strange fashion. Like Billy West was there.
Oh, I'm sure.
And
Billy West does every single one of those.
I feel like there should be a bigger deal made for him, but like
the Eminem guy.
Yeah, like Kira Takarada had like a essentially like a large hotel room or whatever on the first floor. So it wouldn't be a hotel room, but it'd be like a little display room that, people And it was packed the whole time. When I was trying to go in and talk, I was like, well, I can't really interrupt him because there's just a never-ending line of people coming in and out to get pictures and get his autograph. So I was trying to talk to the other people, his other people. And then I walked out and I was like, all right, I'm going to go get some water or something. And like right next to him was like Billy West, but he's sitting out in front of a room on like a bar stool with one of those high tables, just like chatting to some guy. I was like, this seems like there should be more going on for this than there is.
I don't know. Like I said, I mean, I literally think Billy West is like every convention in the
Then right next to where you check in, the table where they'd be like, oh, here's your name and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
It was like this guy just kept going, hey, 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 I'm famous, I'm the guy that kept getting beat up on The Sopranos. And then an old lady would come by, and she's like, are you somebody I should know? And she's like, you're too young. You're too young to have seen my show. But I used to get beat up on The Sopranos. I heard him I got beat up on The Sopranos bit like 7 times. And I didn't know who it was. And,
I never watched The Sopranos.
Like, I watched the first season, but that was like 15 years ago, and I don't remember. Yeah, everyone got beat up on that show.
Yeah. Those things can be a little hectic, I mean, it's all because everyone wants to be waited on in a way. You know what I mean? No one just walks in. Okay, here I go. Here's my money. And I'm just going to go in and do my business. Everybody's like, well, I have a special thing to meet, blah, blah, or whatever. And it's like, I'm interviewing this person like you.
Yeah, I just said, look, I don't know where I'm supposed to be. Is there a thing? Do you have like an itinerary of what is going on and where? And they just gave me the map, and I was like, "All right, now I'll figure out where that is, and I'll just show up at that time."
Well, I guess I mean that's it. You think it's going to be a little more like
the interpreter Yuki She was in the middle of translating all the answers that we had gone over the day before, like Saturday morning. She was in the middle of doing it, and then they called her, like, you know, you have to be down here for his signing in like 10 minutes. She's like, oh, shit, I had no idea. You know? And then when I asked for this other guy, I was like, well, where are we doing it? Where are we? He's like, I'm assuming it's on the stage out front. And I was like, that would be a good place for it. But it wasn't there, you know, it was someplace else. We eventually sorted it out. It worked out fine.
It's good.
Like, it was just us being like, I don't know. All right. And then I was like, I will be here at this time. And then they said, all right, if you're going to be there, we'll bring him there. And
so you were kind of deciding where to go. Yeah, I mean, it just needs to be a little more communication sometimes,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
But hey, it sounds like you had fun. And
wasn't bad.
You got stressed out.
Yeah, I got real stressed out. Real stressed out about it. I was like, why am I doing this? Why I agree to this? But like, it's one of those things. I remember hearing the composer David Arnold, who did a bunch of the Pierce Brosnan, James Bond movies, and he did the first couple Daniel Craig movies, talking about scoring a James Bond movie. He said, you know, you get real nervous as you're going into it, and then as you're doing it, it's like the most horrific experience you can go through. And then you're recording it, and you're like, oh god, this is awful, I'm never ever doing this again. And then after about a month or two, you're like, it's all done, that was actually kind of fun, you know. So it was like that for me, like during the day, like, I can't wait for this day to be over, I just want to. And then, you know, when you have time to process it and really think about it, it became a more enjoyable experience, kind of in hindsight.
Well, I mean, you want it to go perfectly and everything, you know. So,
and I think,
I mean, Clay's done this 100 times, so you know, it's old hat to him.
Yeah,
no, right, Clay? I get nervous. You know, there was a time that I showed up at Boston Comic Con, and they were like, "You have to, like, we need a person to do Robin Lord Taylor," and I wasn't caught up on Gotham or anything, and I had to like. I had like a half hour. I had to sit in a room and just look up a bunch of stuff about him and like come up with all the questions right before the panel. That's happened to me a couple of times.
If they had said that to me, I would have been like, I don't even know who that is.
I kind of was. I a little bit was like that. I wasn't like totally caught up, you know, on Gotham, and it was already into the second season. And
But weren't they doing, wasn't he on another show or something too that they were, or was it just Gotham? I remember you saying like, oh, I asked him about something else.
Because I like had to look, I mean, I can't think of it now, but yeah, I had to look at his IMDb and like watch some key scenes on YouTube and stuff. And it was like stressful. I hate it when it's like that.
Yeah.
Well, but like, I also love it. I'm glad they asked me to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, it's a cool thing. It's, and I guess like at least we're, I don't know, you probably had this too, Clay, but I mean, like, with John and I, it's like, you just kind of get them rolling, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and then they talk for a while, and you're like, okay, this is good. And now you're almost like, wait, I want to ask my question. Stop talking.
And a couple times I did one, like with Marv Wolfman, like, he was just, like, such a smart, like, super nice guy, and, like, he wanted to talk about the Titans, and there weren't, like, that many people there, so everybody got to ask questions. It was like, that's like really cool when you like have like meet a creator or something that you respect.
And yeah, if it's nice. Somebody you really,
and there might not even be a ton of people there, but it's just like you just kind of go through it, and like that's kind of what it's all about. It's kind of cool.
Well, the funny thing, at least that I've noticed, and this is like not even just ones that I've been to and whatever, but like, you know, like when they open up to questions, and someone just sort of goes up to the mic and says, so I saw you when you played in Pittsburgh, and that's the question. Like, that's it. There's like no other, and it's like, yeah. It's like
I cringe like, okay, every Comic-Con, and people have questions. I can't stand it anymore. And I always sit there and I fidget and sigh the most in those moments. It's like, and you can't say you have a question and then say like it, but it's actually three questions. Like that happens.
Oh yeah. I hate that too. I know. It's either that or just a statement. Like, it's like, I don't really have a question. It's just like, I just want to say that I really like your work. You're like, thanks.
Yeah. At Boston Comic Con,
like,
somebody
is,
was
like 15 seconds of fame here, man. You know what I mean? Like, oh, well, sorry. What were you going to say?
Yeah. Like it was so dumb. Like, we already talked about this, but like at Boston Comic Con, somebody asked Billy Dee Williams, like, literally, like, sounded like such a typical, like, high school nerd, you know, is like, would it, when you go to, what's the next Star Wars? Is it 10?
Episode 9.
So, what did you say when they asked you to be in episode 9 as Lando Calrissian? And it was like, every breath, like, took, like, years off my life. And then he was just like, I said yes, because I'm Lando Calrissian. And then, like, his assistant guy had to be like, come on, guys, we need better questions than this.
Yeah, seriously. Oh, well. Oh, well. Is John still here? Oops. I guess
not. Yeah, I hit the mute button by accident. Oh, all right. Sorry.
Because you were like, I've had it with you guys.
Yeah, I was like, I don't
know. Okay, just check. Yeah, I mean, like, literally, what are you supposed to, I guess it's just like, whatever. I mean, it's just sad. Like, this is like your one chance to ask a question to this person that you really admire and respect, and you're just like, so, I really like your work. I don't know. You know what I mean? It's just kind of like, if you're going to walk up to the microphone.
That was why when you were doing the Mickey thing, I was like, I got to get a good question because the monkeys were the reason I learned to sing and play the drums, you know? Yeah. I'm going to try to ask an insightful question, and then I asked it. Well, my question was a two-part question.
Right.
Because
it wasn't a three-part question, and it wasn't the last question.
And, well, mine was the last question, actually, because he talked for a really long time. But
John's was the last question.
He said, that's a good question.
That's what it's all about right there, coming up with a good question for somebody you really like.
Yeah, and I felt bad because, there were other people standing in line, but the person in the back was like, giving me the cutoff sign. So I was like, all right, well, that was a good question.
It turns out it was just some crazy
No, it was his, you know, whatever agent lady, whatever handler that they had there. But, yeah, I mean, I will say, Clay, and we talk about if there's ever a chance to do somebody that I really like and, you know, admire, I would definitely do it again. It's a fun time.
Yeah, as long as they'll talk a lot, and all I have to do is just go, so, 50 years, huh?
Yeah.
that was literally your first question.
We should say thank you to Gary for, like, asking us to be involved so many times and stuff. So.
You're right. You're right. Thanks, Gary.
Aloha, Gary.
Aloha. Thanks. How do you say thank you in Hawaii? Is there a...
Mahalo.
Aloha? Ahalo? Oh, is it Mahalo? Okay. I don't know.
Alyssa Milano.
Alyssa Milano.
Like... the guardianship, the Milano.
Oh, yes, yeah. I was thinking you just said, like, guardianship, like, as one word rather than as two.
Well, it's the guardianship.
Because that's right. What Akira Takarada will have over me is guardianship.
That's right, when you would...
Full custody.
Like, yeah. But you'll be in then you'll be like part of the Godzilla thing. That'd be great. Get some Godzilla
family.
Money.
The Godzilla family, literally.
Yeah.
And they won't cut your scene out of the next one.
Oh, no. I kept, when he was telling the story, the hard part is he's speaking in Japanese. So he'll pause, let the other person talk. And then I wanted to jump in and ask if he had been approached for the sequel. But I go, do you have you? And then he'd be like, she's like, and, you know, and I was like, okay, I tried it three times. I'm never getting this question in.
Yeah, you'll just have to wait until the movie comes out and see if it...
And they just started rolling on Godzilla versus Kong, like this past week or something.
Really? Oh, very good.
Very well.
Maybe he'll be in that if he's not in this.
Does that have any... Oh, no, I heard about that. It has all new people, none of like the... But who's in it that I like? I forget. So one of the
Sexy
actors.
Kitty?
No, I don't mean it like... I'm not Mr. Horn.
Got 11. It's got 11 from Stranger Things. And like Verma Farmiga or whatever her name is.
Oh, did you guys...
The lady that sounds like a salad dressing.
Did you guys see the Hellboy picture?
I did.
Speaking of Stranger Things.
I did not. Yeah. But, all right.
But that guy did a pretty interesting transformation, huh?
Damn good cosplay.
It's hard to... I mean, because the other one was so good, but, I mean, what are you going to do? What's his name?
Ron Perlman.
Yeah, Ron Perlman was so awesome, but then what are you going to do? You got to recast.
You didn't have to.
No, I guess you don't have to.
But I kind of hated Hellboy, too.
I kind of
you did too.
I definitely
both did.
I didn't kind of hate it. That movie.
I'm not
sucked.
Sure at what point you hated it before because we saw it together.
Yeah.
San Diego.
Yeah.
That was how we would spend. Like we're like, I don't feel like staying at the convention, so we just kept going over to the movies.
Go to the movies
and watching comic book related movies. Yeah.
Well, it just so happened. Yeah, Dark Knight and Hellboy.
I think you hated the movie a lot sooner than I did. I think I started hating it when. What song were they singing with the Abe Sapien or whatever?
I don't even remember.
So like, where the do birds suddenly appear? I don't know. I don't know if that's the song they sang or not. But I was, I'm done. All right, I'm out. Durson checked out about 40 minutes ago, but I was trying to give it the benefit of the doubt.
That's funny because usually it's the opposite. Usually you start hating a movie long before I do.
I know the movie is terrible almost immediately. it's just something about it. And then movies hardly ever recover from a
bad they story. Never get better. From the moment John says this movie stinks, he whispers to me, this movie's really bad.
That's I said Twister. It was like, and it's into it. It's pretty bad.
And I was like, well, maybe it'll get better. It never does. It never gets better.
Never gets better.
I think you did that with
Dumb and
Dumber.
Yeah.
Interview with the Vampire. Crow 2, whatever that one was.
Crow 2, that was like a record for I was. We
vampire.
Weren't even.
We left.
Even through.
Old as ice.
Actually, we made it all the way through Interview with a Vampire because I remember the ending. But the Crow 2.
We left.
No thanks. We
even through the opening credits, and I was like, I can already tell this movie is horrible.
We made it a few minutes in, and then we walked over to the fan.
Brom was with us.
Brom stayed.
Yeah.
That was pretty
funny. I was like, I'd rather go see John Kruk get killed.
John Kruk. With his mullet.
Yeah.
In like the mid-90s. Anyways, all right. Well, what else do we want? Is there anything else we need to cover here before I think?
I was at the convention.
Stopped
in and saw Mr. Mark McKenna and grabbed a couple copies of the hardcover of Combat Jacks, the complete collection. So ask your local comic retailer. If you're in Red Bank, go to Jay and Silent Bob's Secret Stash.
They won't have it, but they can order it.
If you're in Harvard Square, go to Prime.
And I think it's retailing for like $20 or $25 for a fucking hardcover. It's fucking amazing.
Cheap. Yeah, that's good. Usually like $40-$50.
Yeah.
And it's a lot. He's got a lot of combat. He did a lot of Combat Jackson.
Jackson.
Combat Jackson. I'm going to Jackson. What about your comic book there?
I'm about to send it to the printer. I was actually going to send it the other day, and I realized, like, the cover, which John graciously
check that shit out too,
colored and put the logo on for me. Thank you very much.
I think I did something a little fancy with it. I do a draw shit or something.
Yeah, looks great. And I realized, like, I should put like a price on it. You know,
you can't put a price on something like that, buddy.
No, I mean, I can't. But technically, I should. So like I was it was like Friday afternoon and I was like, oh, I should just do this now. And I was like, oh, the fucking price and like the issue number, you know what I mean? You got to put the issue number.
Yeah.
Cause you can put a number on it. You can't put a price. But, and I was like, oh shit, I got to like do that whole thing. And that's a pain in the ass. So whatever. I'm going to send it out to the printer this week. And, thanks for the recommendation. I realize I can cut out one page.
Yeah, you didn't even have to do any shuffling, huh?
Make it a nice even 24 pages.
What would you say happens on this first page of the one you had to cut?
I will tell you exactly what happened.
The hardest.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't that hard. It was a fun little like. I don't know what like in the you know they call them like sort of the, you know it was just like a one page thing like sort of setting up like because the it was in the present time but it was sort of like. Calling back to like, and then the issue calls back to the past, but like it's completely superfluous. It was just the character being like he was applying for a job.
Well, like in Superman 3, where he's at the unemployment office.
Superman 3.
I scrolled my way through Superman 3 and 4 last night looking for any redeemable moments, and it was really tough.
Wait a minute. There must be one redeemable moment. Should Pryor trying to turn both keys at the same time with like his foot?
Yeah.
That is definitely my favorite Superman
moment. And then that part where the fire hydrant almost drowns the guy at the beginning. Or whatever.
And the beginning of Superman 3 is one of the worst sequences.
The hot dog cart.
Here's the thing. Do you know the guy that directed part of Superman 2 and then all of Superman was Richard Lester, who was known primarily for doing the Beatles' Hard Day's Night, which then spun out of that. Were the Monkees. So it was. It's like he was known for goofy slapstick comedy shit. And even when he would do, when he tackled like Three Musketeers or something, it was still a very campy version of it. And the only reason he agreed to
Three Musketeers,
movies, the ones with
not the Kiefer Sutherland one.
No, but it would be Richard Chamberlain, I think, was in it.
Yeah.
The only reason he did the Superman movies is because the Salkinds were like, oh yeah, we owe you money for the other movie you directed for us a couple of years ago. We'll pay you if you do these Superman movies.
And like, also, can you like? Wasn't he like the assistant for Donner? And was like an intermediary between like the Salkinds and Donner because they hated him.
Yeah, and pretty much he was studying up to take over the job.
Yeah. What more slapstick comedy can I do here?
Yeah. Oh, you know what? Let's have the bad guys shoot, like, blow wind, and then there'll be a dude on roller skates getting blown back, and then a guy on a payphone going, I'm just going to keep... I remember thinking that was funny when I was 8, but...
I do like when Superman goes into the photo booth, it takes the 3 pictures of him, and
Was he like, I'm going to change... Home, I accidentally stuck a dollar into this machine.
Yeah, accidentally swiped my credit card in the machine, and then he gives just the Superman picture of him changing out of the Clark Kent. Yeah.
That is kind of a Superman-y thing to do.
Very cool.
If like you were to accidentally swipe your credit card into a photo
machine,
like I have time. I'll just take some time to go back in time.
Well, he gave the picture to the.
To a kid,
The thing like prints out and drops down, and the kid's eyeing it, and Superman's like, "Give me that, kid."
You know the other great thing is like Superman fucks that woman that he meets on the top of the Statue of Liberty. Yeah, well, they don't show it, but he's like, she's like, "How you doing, big boy?" And he's like, "I hope you're ready for some super dickery, if you know what I mean." She's like, give it to me.
Bad Superman or good Superman?
It's bad Superman.
Yeah.
The one that was like flicking peanuts into the mirror and breaking glasses and shit. Which I say Superman 4 is better because at least that's more like a Superman movie, despite the fact that they reused the same shot of Superman flying at the camera like 18 times.
Oh, no. I mean, they're very competitive.
I think at least Superman 4 was trying to be good, but it got its budget slashed like 3 times, and they were like, "Oh, all right, I guess we'll film in Vancouver instead. That looks kind of like New York."
At least Gene Hackman was back.
Yeah,
that was
But if you ever see, there's a documentary about Canon Films, and that was was the production company that did Superman 4. It wasn't the Salkinds. It was the Golden Globus or whatever his name is. And there's a crap ton of nudity because they love to do... because these guys were behind... Airplane? Not like Airplane, but... more like those, what were they called? Emmanuel movies or something like that?
Oh, you're talking about Canon Films. You're not talking about Canon Superman. Films,
yeah. Yeah, no, I'm not talking about Superman. I'm talking about Canon Films. There's a documentary I can't remember if it was on Amazon or Netflix. It's probably on both, about Canon Films. And they talk about how they were going to do this. They were trying to do the greatest musical of all time. I can't remember what it was called, like The Apple or something like that. And it was a huge flop, and it was real weird. And they just kept – they would make all these cheap shit movies with, Chuck Norris and Charles Bronson. And they'd be like, let's take that money – and make this really huge bomb that's going to cost us everything. And that was why Superman 4 suffered, was because of all these terrible decisions that they had made. But it's an interesting documentary, but there is a crap ton of nudity in it.
Wow. All right. Nice. I'll check it out. Now I know it's worth my time.
Yeah. But it's also interesting to listen to them talk about how cheap these guys were and how, like, cause they were guys from the Middle East or whatever. So they would try to make American type films, and like another big box office bomb that they produced was the Stallone arm wrestling movie.
Oh,
Over the Top.
Yeah.
I love that movie when I was in third grade.
Yeah.
So, it probably doesn't hold up.
Yeah, it probably does. I think they had to really, pardon the pun, wrestle Stallone to be in it.
Ooh!
Twist his arm, so to speak. I think they just had to be. Oh, he was like, no. Good. And they're like, how about this much money? He's like, no. And they're like, how about this much? No. He's like, how about this much? And eventually they got to the point where he's like, all right, Jesus, I'll do it.
I like twist his arm. That was a good
thing. That was what I meant to say first.
Yeah.
He should do like a Creed kind of like reboot for Over the Top.
Where he's his friend's son. He coaches him to.
Yeah.
And then Cliffhanger, too. He could do like that same one, right?
Yeah.
Be John Lithgow's son. That would be the thing. It'd be the bad guy's son that he's trying to.
Oh, brilliant! Oh, my God.
Son, you know, when that movie came out like 25 years ago, so his son's in his early 30s now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Rocky IV.
I guess
Rocky IV was 30 years ago.
Damn.
Can you believe that?
Can you believe it?
Damn.
And they're doing like the basically not the sequel, but you know what I mean. It's like a.
Yeah, he's in. Dolph Lundgren's in that new one.
Yeah, I know. And the other guy, his son, the guy who plays his son, is like a real, I think he's like, I don't know if he's a real boxer, but he's like huge. He's kind of like Dolph Lundgren was.
Huge.
Pre-Punisher.
Pre-Punisher. Oh, yeah.
Dolph Lundgren's Punisher.
There was a bad movie night I don't think you could make it for that. We watched a Dolph Lundgren movie where he was like a drummer in a band, but it was like Die Hard in a stadium, and he's going around like killing guys with like drumsticks and stuff. Oh, nice. I mean, it actually sounds better than it was. I was like, this sounds amazing. And I was like, it's okay. But, you know, the premise.
I mean, as a bad movie or just.
Yeah, as general? A bad movie, it was okay. Oh, okay. I mean, it was still humorous. It was still funny. Because, I mean, right. You know, leathery Dolph Lundgren.
I know.
I mean, and this was still 10 years ago, and he was just as leathery looking as he
is. Yeah, I mean,
now.
He's pretty old now, right? I mean.
Yeah, but like, it was great. He'd be like. Sneaking up behind someone, he'd be like, you know, stab him in the eye with a drumstick or ridiculous bullshit.
It reminded me of our Universal Soldier takeoff.
Man.
We kept trying to do the voices of him and Jean-Claude Van Damme. I think we just sounded like Arnold Schwarzenegger, right?
Yeah, well,
you did. I didn't. I don't think I guess I did, but I didn't play.
I don't think you had an accent. So, but
no, you know, I was Dr. Demento.
Hey, well, that's right. you know what's funny about the actual Universal Soldier movie is that it's these two American guys in Vietnam.
Yeah.
The muscles from Brussels and wherever he's from.
Wherever Dolph Lundgren is from. Yeah. Yeah.
Not
they weren't American at all. But that's all right. Wouldn't have made the movie any better.
No, not really. It's the same guys that did Independence Day and Godzilla and.
Not. Godzilla.
No, not the 2014, but Stargate, and you know, 10,000 Beasts. Everything they've done is shit. Yeah.
I know, it's pretty sad.
Maybe
like,
they're
literally...
comfortable in their mediocrity.
Yeah,
damn, I guess they are because they make a shitload of money
in their mediocrity.
Oh man, I saw a commercial because they did that Independence Day resurgence.
Oh yeah,
last year or whatever, and like I think it was for FX. They were like showing the movie, and even they were like playing off the like playing it like it's comedy.
Yeah, like,
they were like, everybody knows this movie stinks. Let's just play it that way.
Yeah, that's good. Will Smith was like, nope.
Yeah, Will Smith's like, no thanks. I'll do Suicide Squad instead.
Yeah, at least that made money.
Yeah, I know.
True. That movie was terrible too, but
God, it was terrible. But now we got James Gunn. Maybe the next.
Is that true? Is that really going to happen? Or is that still just a rumor?
That's... Oh, I don't know. I thought it was pretty much happening. But...
Oh, okay. That's cool, I guess.
I could be wrong. I mean, I hope it's true. I mean, if he's not going to do Guardians, then do something. Make
then do the DC version of it.
Well, make it better, though. You know, like, you can't make it worse.
I'm looking forward to Aquaman.
All right.
You know what? I actually might go see is Bumblebee. It doesn't look awful. Really?
I want to see Bumblebee, too.
I'll see Bumblebee. I definitely going to see Aquaman because, I mean, I'll see it anyway, but Rachel... I think really likes Jason Momoa. So.
Oh yeah, same here.
Yeah. Well,
Oh, he's sexy.
Clay likes him too, huh?
No, Stacey's like insists on seeing it.
Oh, Jen couldn't care less. She also is like not into Chris Hemsworth either. She's like, I don't see what the big deal is.
I think it's the abs.
Abs
and boobs.
Give me a Captain Kirk any day.
Flabby
William Shatner. No, Chris Pine.
Oh, Chris Pine. Well, I think Chris Hemsworth is actually really funny. It's not even. Obviously, I don't care about the ads, but I think he's a funny. I think he's a good actor. Actually, I think he's a good comedy, like a good comedic actor.
Yes.
So
I'm doing my best.
Tell Jen I said that.
All right, I will. I'll text her right now. I'm doing my best to get into my. I'm trying to get my Captain America body for the next Comic-Con so I can cosplay as Chris Evans. So,
hey, nice. I read a rumor that they said he might not be done. There was like all this stuff going around. Oh, he's not Captain America anymore, blah, 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 but he might be back.
He said, never mind. I was thinking Robert Downey Jr. Because when he was being cast as Captain America, he was like, I don't know. And Robert Downey Jr. was like, oh, man, I know they don't pay as well as other things, but you can take this and use that stardom for other things. And Chris Evans has really taken the Captain America thing, and a bunch of the Marvel people have taken the Captain America superhero thing, and not just done pet projects, but they do a lot of really good charity work with kids and stuff. And
yeah,
the kids get
that.
Like they're like, "What the fuck, Captain America? This is awesome!" You know?
I know. I mean, they're really into it. It's cool.
Yeah. You see him and Chris Pratt together doing these things as Star-Lord and Captain America at hospitals, and it just makes me want to handkerchief.
Oh, he did that thing where he scared Elizabeth Olsen or whatever. You know what I mean? Like she was on whatever. I mean, yeah, you could tell they're like buddies. They're really into it. They're probably into this Disney Plus thing. Apparently, they're working on a Vision and Scarlet Witch show.
The comic was.
Well, I mean, they're working on a Winter Soldier and Falcon show with Sebastian Stan and Anthony Mackie, and they're doing a Loki show. I mean, like this. I don't know. I mean, it seems like people really want to be in this stuff. This isn't just some like gig, you know. So it's very cool.
Yeah.
And
very cool.
So hope they keep it up.
I feel like Clay wanted to sign off about 45 minutes ago, and I just kept babbling about canon films and stuff. I didn't mean to keep you guys.
I'm just listening.
Oh. He's not agreeing, but he's listening.
Sometimes you guys just gotta listen.
Oh, that's good. I need to too. I never listen. I just wait to talk.
Well, that's why I was trying to get a little knowledge on you kids today.
Oh, you did something good, John. Did good. I appreciate
aloha
that.
Aloha to you as well.
Yeah, aloha. Yeah, aloha. All right, well, we can sign off then, but thanks for the knowledge.
To you.
And thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll see you chumps later.
Hey, one last plug before we see those chumps later. Bye, okay. Combat Jack. Subscribe to Viz Media online because now Demon Slayer Komatsu or something like that, I can't remember how to say the last word, it will be coming out all the weekly. If you're an anime fan, manga fan, all the it'll be a simultaneous release between Japan and America. You can get your fucking anime shit translated correctly, done well for a small fee, and No fan dubbing that will misinterpret things. So sign up, and it'll keep me employed.
Checks. Yeah, that's good. See
me chips, so to speak.
Chips.
So, yeah. And all I'll right. continue to be able to pay my mortgage.
Mortgage. Right. That sounds like a Stan Lee villain.
Keep the mortgage paid.
Yeah.
Sign up for whatever this thing that John didn't know the name of it.
Yeah, it was Demon Slayer.
Komatsu, you said.
Yeah, it's not Komatsu, but it's like close to that. And if I had a book of, in front of me, I could say what the actual name was.
If you Google Demon Slayer server, I mean, I'm sure you can find it, right?
Demon Slayer manga, and it, the last word begins with a K.
All right. No, that's the signal. That's the signal right there. It's time to see you chumps later. Thanks for listening, everybody. LeaguePodcast.com. Click on the links and all that stuff. Get some money. Bye-bye.
Adios, assholes.
Later, you fucks.
I mean, I don't want to make fun of Kevin Smith. I mean, I do, but I won't.